Turn your Bible with me to Genesis chapter 29. In the last couple of chapters in Genesis, we witness how Jacob deceived his father and his brother to get his birthright and blessings. Yet that was already designated to him. It was his birthright and it was his blessing. God designated to him before he was born. But he could not wait, so he had to connive and con his own brother and father. Now we are going to see that Jacob will learn his lesson from someone who is far worse than him, and he will be deceived. So he gets to learn the principle of what goes around comes around. Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. It is always joy and excitement to hear from you. We don't want to hear from man's opinion, but rather straight from your truth, from your word, your principle and precepts. Father, we are asking you to open our heart to receive your word, anoint our heart to understand and to live the life that glorifies you. And Father, we also pray that you anoint the one who speaks, that he may only speak your word. Father, we pray that this idea of the principle of what goes around comes around be in our heart, that we may not sin against you or against anyone else. Father, let us be mindful that what we do and what we think and what we say. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chapter 29, verse 1, please. Of Genesis. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of people of East. And he looked and saw the well in the field, and behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flock. Large stone was on the well's mouth, and now all the flock that would be gathered there, they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. And Jacob said to them, "My brethren, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." Then he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." He said to them, "How is he well?" And they said, "He is well, and look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." Then he said, "Look, this is the still high day. It's not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks were gathered together. They have rolled a stone from the well's mouth. Then we watered the sheep." Verse 9. Now while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was shepherdess. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled a stone from the well's mouth and watered the stone a flock of the Laban's, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Stop there, please. According to God's providential will, then he directed Jacob to the place of the house of Laban. But note that Jacob did not pause to pray. Remember when Abraham sent his servant to get the Isaac's bride, what did he do? When he stopped, he prayed to the Lord and ask God to guide him. Here, Jacob, it shows his spiritual condition. He just expected something to happen. I'm sure Jacob saw the Rachel, and then he was thinking, "Okay, you boys, you got to get out of here so I can have a time with the Rachel." Jacob knew that he needed to marry one of the daughters of the Laban, so he was more than willing to show his kindness toward Rachel by feeding the flock she had. Well, what do you know? Here's the first record of the kissing cousins in the Bible. And why did he cry? There's some comment, according to commentators. They like to make a comment for everything. I guess she had a bad breath. I don't know why. Move on to the verse 12, please. The Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and she was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Then it came to pass, then the Laban heard the report about the Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things. Then the Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to the Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wage be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger is Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but the Rachel's was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And the Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me." Stop there again, please. This might sound like a nice offer from Laban, but this is a Laban's way to putting Jacob in his payroll, paying very little. Jacob was the son of the wealthy man, isn't he? Isaac was a very wealthy man. He never had any hard work at home because all the hard work was done by their servant. But Jacob is now the servant of Laban. Jacob's reaction in this situation will reveal much of his character. This demonstrates in principle that you never know about what kind of servant you are still until others treat you like servant. Let me put it this way. In my experience, I've seen many people who claim to be a servant of Jesus Christ. But when it comes to truly getting down to what seems to be the lowly job, they give me you out of your mind look. They don't want to do the hard work. In other words, they want the title of the servant of God. There's no other title in the kingdom of God that is higher than the servant of God. Are you with me? But they don't want the work, but they want the title. They better change their attitude because God remembers their look and the prideful heart. It may not be seen to other people. It will be seen to God. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, the first one is a prideful heart and haughty eyes. Check your motive. When you serve God, when you serve others, check your motive. Am I doing this to be recognized by others, or am I doing this for the kingdom of God, for King? There's some dispute as exactly what the phrase, the Leah's eyes were delicate. Hebrew meaning of the name of Leah, anybody named Leah? I don't think so. I just want to be careful here. The meaning of the Leah in Hebrew meaning is a wild cow. I don't know if it's a compliment. I don't think it's a compliment. All I know from the portion of the text, according to text and context, Rachel is a prettier than Leah. Maybe Leah's appearance was hurting people's eyes. That's why they call it a wild cow. We'll just skip there. Jacob's offer to work for 7 years is, in a way, a dowry. Jacob came from family of a wealthy family, but he left home pretty much penniless. Before he could take a woman in marriage, he had to provide a dowry to demonstrate he was fit to provide things for his wife, and the loss of wages from his wife's family. In my opinion, 7 years' wage is a very generous offer, more than the dowry he needed to pay. But he was not about to take a risk of refusal. Laban saw how much Jacob loved Rachel, and he took advantage of him. Verse 20, please. So Jacob served 7 years of Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. All the ladies said, "Aw." Guys, take a hint. When the Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he, Laban, took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob. He went into her, and Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give a younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me on still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so, to fulfill her week, and so he gave his daughter Rachel as wife also. Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel. He also loved her. He also loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served Laban there was still another 7 years. Stop there, please. In the ancient culture, Jacob was not allowed to spend much of his time with a married wife. They had a strict social guideline that keeping the unmarried separate. Jacob was willing to wait for 7 years for Rachel. This clearly demonstrates an important principle that is ageless and timeless principle. True love waits. True love waits. Single ladies, teenage young ladies, listen carefully, please. Let's go to the Galatians chapter 5, please. I asked our youth pastor, Merrill Simon, to have the young people to come in. This is the reason. Galatians chapter 5, right after 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. Chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of flesh are evident, which are adultery. What is the next word? What does it mean? Sex before marriage. It doesn't matter if you are engaged. It doesn't matter if you are 60 or 70 years old. There one time somebody asked me, "We are over 40. Can we have a sex? We are not teenagers." And I was thinking, are you an idiot? Don't say that word, young people. You got to have a license. Just kidding. Sex before marriage is still wrong. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, and drunkenness, rivalry, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such a thing will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you think Apostle Paul is making it very clear to you? It is to me. There is no gray area. No fornication. You need to keep your purity until your marriage, no matter what your boyfriend says. Because your purity glorifies God. Your boyfriend insists, curl up your finger like this and hit him on the nose. He will stop thinking about the sex altogether. Or just say, "Hi, Daddy." See how fast he gets up. Listen to me, please. Animal cannot control their sexual desires, but human can. That's the difference between man and animal. I was talking with a U of A law student. He wanted to be the lawyer, and he insists that, well, you cannot help. Yeah, dogs cannot help, but you can. Human can control the sexual desires. Yes, I know that it's the fourth biggest human desires, but it can be controlled. If you thought that Jacob was a deceiver, Laban was a master deceiver. Jacob was getting a taste of his own medicine. Here are a few examples. Jacob deceived his own father to get what he wanted. Now Jacob was deceived by his father-in-law. Jacob deceived his father as if he was the older son, he was the older son while he was the younger one. Jacob was deceived by his father-in-law by making him think that he was getting the younger sister. In reality, he got the older sister. You follow me, the pattern? One more. Jacob deceived his father as if he was the older son by putting the goat hair on his hair and the neck, or hand and neck. Later, Jacob was deceived by his own sons who brought the Joseph's coat of many colors. Remember that? In the future, we study, many of you know the story. Was dipped in the blood of the sheep. And they lied to him that he was killed by the wild beast. What goes around comes around. There are bad reactions to our bad actions. What am I trying to tell you guys? Don't sin. Is it possible for us to not sin? No, it's not possible for us not to sin completely, but we can sin less. You with me on that? Whenever you feel like you're about to sin, ask God to help you. See how fast it stops. Call out the name of Jesus when you are in temptation and walk away from that temptation. Back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It reads, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sow, that he will also reap." I will read that portion. It's so important. Are you there yet? "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Listen to me, please. I don't know what your sin is. It might be a pet sin. You know what the pet sin is? You hide behind some people's eyes. People think that you are doing everything well, but you have that sin that nobody knows, and you're enjoying it. It can be a sin of gambling, or a sin of doing drugs, or a sin of pornography, or a sin of you fill the blank. Whatever that is, you may think that God, that nobody knows. Your secret is open scandal in heaven. Do you know that? You're hiding so well, but it is open to everyone in heaven. Do you think God does not know what you're doing? He knows. You may say, well, people who use pornography, so it's a sinless crime, a victimless crime. Really? If you're a married person, your mind will not be same as before. And if you are into the gambling, guess what? Money should go into the paying bills. It will end up in somebody's pocket. Why would you do that? And you may say, well, drinking beer or the wine is not such a big deal. Same thing. Why do you need a depressant to enjoy life? I haven't drank since 1987, since I became a Christian. Do you think I'm missing any fun? I don't miss any fun. I have more fun than the majority of people can think of. I don't have to have a hangover to have fun. I used to do that when I was in college, just to get drunk, get plastered. I waste the money. The passage in the Galatians is written primarily for the Christians, but expressed in the universal law of God in every age. It is true in every area of life. You sow wheat, you reap wheat. You sow weed, you reap weed. The example of this principle runs all the way through the scriptures. For example, Pharaoh slew the children of Israel, the boys. And guess what happened to him? God brought the plague. Death angel passed by the entire land of Egypt. And all the firstborn were killed, including from the Pharaoh's house all the way to the animal in the barn. And King David committed a terrible sin of adultery and the murder of the Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. What happened to his family? There's a rape of his daughter, and his oldest son got killed by a brother, and Saul would never depart from that family. Did God forgive his sin? Yes, but the consequences followed. Even Paul, Apostle Paul, had the weight of this law. He had given a consent to stoning the first martyr, Stephen, in the book of Acts chapter 7. Remember that? What happened to him? In Lystra, he was stoned. No, he didn't smoke any pot. That's not the same kind of stone. Somebody literally walked him. All right, back to the Genesis. Can you imagine what happened the next day in the honeymoon suite? Jacob, supposedly Leah. Talk about rude awakening in the morning. Remember the definition of Leah's eyes? The name of Leah? Wild cow? Jacob woke up with the sunlight coming into the room, and he saw her, and he was having a cow. He ran outside and demanded the truth about this shenanigan from Laban. And Laban said, "Oh, did you not read the fine print back of the contract? 2-for-1 deal. You get the 2 wives. Welcome to the school of hard knocks, Jacob. What goes around comes around." Jacob was hopping mad, but somebody who was more cunning than him just pulled this stunt on him. I was involved in the prison ministry for a long time. You know, one thing that clears to me is I met several different type of criminals. Child molester, rapist, murderer. One guy, he chopped up his wife and put her body's pieces in the trash bag, tossed it in the back of his truck, went to McDonald's to grab a sandwich, and he got arrested. With the hands in the cookie jar, talk about the evidence in the back. And then I met the thieves. You know, one principle that you don't do in prison is you don't steal another inmate's stuff. Do you know they have their own justice system? They get whacked badly. And what happened to you? I fell in the shower. Right. Somebody whacked them good. It's not okay for them, somebody to steal things from them. But it's okay for them to steal other things, other people's. Whatever you do at work, when your coworkers see you, do they think that you are born again Christian because you do everything right? You never take away even a piece of paper or a piece of paper clip. If paper clip was purchased by other not out of your pocket, it doesn't belong to you. Are you with me? Don't take it home. Don't take it home. That's doing what is right. Let me put it this way. If you do, it's a robbery. It's a burglary. There's a difference, right, between robbery and burglary. Do what is right in the sight of God, that he may be glorified. What goes around comes around. This man Jacob had plenty of trouble in his life, in his family from then on. It all started with his deceptive method that he used. It was not necessary for him to do that because it was his birthright. It was his blessing. Verse 31, please. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son. She called his name Reuben, for she said, "The Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him the three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, Now I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Stop there, please. Leah was a sad person because she knew her husband loved Leah, her sister, rather than her. When she became a mother of Reuben, she thought it would bring joy in her heart as well as his. She felt that Jacob would love her now, but he didn't. Second son was born, Simeon, which means hearing. Again, Leah hoped for his love. He didn't return the love. As you can tell, obviously, Jacob continuously having a sexual union with Leah, but he was not loving her. He was simply using her. It's been said, listen carefully, young men, listen carefully, young ladies, and any single ladies. It's been said, man gives love to have sex, and woman gives sex to have love. You tell your boyfriend, if you love me, you will respect my decision to stay pure until we get married. If he says no, that means he doesn't respect you nor your decision. For that matter, he doesn't deserve you and you don't need that jerk. You follow me? Did I make it clear? Third child born to Jacob, again, Leah named him Levi, meaning attachment. Leah still lived in the hope that her husband Jacob would love her and become attached to her through the birth of these sons. The pain in her heart and Leah was evident as the hardness of Jacob's heart. He simply and selfishly using her. Fourth son was born to Jacob, again through Leah, was named Judah, meaning praise. Apparently, Leah stopped naming her son to reflect the pain she is longing in her heart and pain and the longing in her heart. Now she focuses on God and can praise him. Leah, though she was neglected by Jacob, despised by Rachel, had a great purpose in God's plan. Two great tribes came from Leah, not Rachel. Levi, the priestly tribe, and Judah, the royal tribe. Most importantly, Messiah came from Leah, the ugly sister, who was neglected and despised, but learned to look to the Lord and praise him. Amen? I have one application, please. We must remember that whatever sin we commit in secret will be exposed at the worst time. Whatever you said in the inner room, whatever you done in the inner room will be shouted from the rooftop. You hear me? So, how are you going to prevent that? Don't sin. Don't close your Bible. Open your Bible back to Hosea. I put that verse just because you guys closed the Bible way too quickly. Hosea. They sow the wind, the rip of whirlwind. Remember that, folks? What goes around, let's stand up and pray.